Proverbs chapter 8 today, and with me at the round table is once again Peyton Jones.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Barry Waters. Welcome, Barry.
Well, good to be here.
We arrive today at the call of wisdom herself. Chapter 8 is a bit of poetry, and a powerful one at that, as wisdom comes alive right off the page and is personified as a woman. Interesting that wisdom is female here, as I have found many times that the voice of wisdom sounds precisely like my wife. The Lord was kind enough to make my wife significantly wiser than I am. It is a humbling that I happily accept, and I have to say it has really taught me something that fits well here. That for me, the trick is not so much having wisdom as it is listening to wisdom. Speaking of which, Barry, take us into Proverbs chapter 8.
As Chris mentioned, this passage is in stark contrast to the previous chapter, where the woman is portrayed as a force of destruction. But here in chapter 8, the woman is the personification of wisdom. The chapter starts off by asking, does not wisdom call out? And yes, it does. It really does. And it is easy to hear it if you are looking and listening for it. It's almost impossible not to hear if you are. The chapter goes on to say, does not understanding raise her voice at the highest points along the way where the paths meet? She takes her stand. She's not hiding. She comes to find you. She's hard to miss if you're looking for her. I love the description of wisdom being where the paths meet. In other translations, it refers to this as a crossroads. I've had a lot of crossroads in my life. Crossroads where I have listened to the voice of wisdom, and it was obvious it was the right path. In hindsight, I can look back over the other times where I didn't listen to the voice of wisdom, and I took the wrong path. And it was obvious that I took the wrong path, because it was screaming at me in the face, but I ignored it as I thought I knew better.
As wisdom speaks, she calls for people to listen to her words. Verse 6, listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. It's not always easy to follow wisdom because we often fail to recognize the difference between foolishness and wisdom. And that's what this entire book is about, knowing the difference between wisdom and foolishness. The knowledge of good and evil. Solomon writes about wisdom in verse 10. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom is more important than actually seeking after wealth. How great would it be if more people sought wisdom first and foremost? Like Solomon, asking God for wisdom when he could have picked anything on his Christmas list. Instead, Solomon says, I seek wisdom, and with wisdom came everything else. If we seek wisdom first, it will result in transformed lives.
In verse 12, wisdom tells us, I dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. All of these live together, right decisions, right understanding. Prudence, knowing the right thing. Discretion, knowing what to say and not to say. If you get wisdom, you get it all. And 13 is pivotal. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Now that is a profound statement. If you respect God, if you fear, stand in awe, you will hate evil. Evil is against God. Hate it. Not hate people, not hate sinners, hate evil. Injustice will stir emotion in you, a righteous anger. Not judgmental, not self-righteous, but rather caring about right and wrong. With feeling, hate evil. And then wisdom says, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Think about that. Wisdom hates pride. Sometimes we think, oh, that fellow's very wise. He's got the fancy accent. Too bad he's arrogant. No one in particular. This is a hypothetical fellow from unknown whereabouts. Perhaps somewhere in the UK. But seriously, arrogant intelligence is not wisdom. That's worldly. Wisdom is humble. Wisdom hates pride because pride plugs its ears every time wisdom calls out. If someone is intelligent but does evil, wisdom hates it. She also hates perverse speech. You may be an eloquent brainiac, but that is not wisdom, and wisdom hates it. And then wisdom talks of sound judgment, understanding, and power. By me, kings reign, and rulers issue decrees that are just. Now, I think we all know that kings and rulers can be foolish by the dozen. But what she's saying is that if they listen to wisdom, if you lead and if you love wisdom and seek her, you will find her and you will lead well, make decrees that are just. And that is good for everyone.
Between verses 18 and 21, he describes the rewards of wisdom. And I just have to read this out loud because it's just one of those pieces of scripture that are just written so beautifully. So in verse 18, it starts with, "Me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasuries full." Goodness, what an absolutely wonderful way to describe the rewards of wisdom. And what stands out to me here the most is that the rewards of wisdom don't just benefit you, but they also benefit those who you love. And this certainly is true in my experience.
Verse 22, "The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old, I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be." What does it mean here for wisdom to be the first of God's works? It doesn't mean that God created wisdom first, and before then he didn't have any himself. It means that everything that God did create was made carefully, infused with wisdom. Wisdom and wonder are hardwired into the fabric of the universe. To be the first of God's works shows wisdom's place of importance. Creation tells us itself that wisdom is one of the most important things in the world. Now, a special note here about Jesus. While Jesus exemplified wisdom perfectly while he walked on earth, this passage is not directly about him. It does not say here that Jesus was created. Despite what people may tell you, he is eternal.
I love the picture of wisdom in verse 30 as the master workman at the Lord's side, rejoicing before him. The echoes of wisdom's joy resound from every corner of creation, from the field of flowers to the heavens full of stars. And wisdom completes her call with a reminder to listen. Three times in the final verses, listen and keep. And with that in mind, I think rather than talk more about it, let's end with wisdom's words. Verse 32. "Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death."
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.